This is John Lendorf in my guise as the organizer of Kitchen Table Talk, our once a month special hour long program devoted to food issues, cooking, and your calls. And this is a special one, of course, because it's time for the summer drive. My co-host every month on the first Thursday is Chef Daniel Asher. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, John. How are you? Happy July.
Happy July. And what a damp and foggy time it is.
Yes. Yeah. Life in the Pacific Northwest is quite stunning and damp.
We have two guests with us today in the studio to talk about food and talk to you about cooking.
Yes.
Why don't you introduce them?
Yeah, excellent. Two of my favorite people are closely nooked in this morning. I'm super jazzed and excited. Chef Arik Marcus, incredibly talented culinarian, has been part of the Boulder and greater Colorado food scene for quite some time and beyond. Phenomenal human, talented, and incredible in the kitchen. Chef and founder of the Urban Pantry Condiment Company. Good morning, Arik. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. And then Carly Silverman, who I've known you since, oh my gosh, ages ago with some amazing sustainable organic produce delights and amazing food sourcing for incredible restaurants across Colorado. And you are currently and have been with Growing Gardens, also one of my favorite organizations, around the donor development manager and chef. Growing Gardens, for those of you that haven't been to the plant sale, it's quite the shindig, and it's a great kickoff to growing season.
It sure is. Yeah. Everything hopefully is growing well for people now.
Yes.
With a little more sun coming soon here.
Yes, very true. Plenty of moisture.
Yes.
That's for sure.
We got that covered.
Plants are happy with the moisture. Definitely. So good morning, Carly. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Totally.
And like I mentioned, it's time for our short summer membership drive. We don't do this very often, and we need your support to keep doing this kind of radio. It always, years ago when I started doing food radio back in the dark ages, before the turn of the century, I always assumed that other radio stations across the state would eventually have food programming specific, to food and farming and food insecurity and issues and eating, tasting.
Yeah.
And well, they never did, folks. Surprisingly, this is the only radio station in the beautiful state of Colorado that does this kind of thing and has for more than a quarter century. If you like this kind of thing, if you like it to continue, you know what to do. Call 303-449-4885 and become a member. Or perhaps renew your membership. As always, we have wonderful ways to thank you for becoming a member. We have some copies of a wonderful book that you might want to share with some of the younger folks in your household. It's called Food Stars, 15 Women Stirring Up the Food Industry. It's a wonderful book, profiles of locals who are... Well, some locals who are involved in different parts of the food industry to inspire young women to become involved in different parts of the industry. So it's great. We also have gift cards from The Corner, from Outworld Brewing, from the Trailhead Tavern, from the Inventing Room, the Jamestown Merc, Ginger and Baker, and other restaurants. And you can find out about those by calling in, or you can go online and become a member. I am a solar member. I highly recommend it. Basically, they take out a minimal amount of money that you decide every month, and you don't have to think about it. So please, please do that. I also recently donated my car to KGNU, and while they did while they did not see a huge amount of money that came from that, it's a great way and an easy way to dispose of your vehicle.
Yes.
So let's talk. Let's talk food. We also have food to taste here.
Yes.
Which looks incredible. Yay. Maybe we should start by talking about. Let's talk about growing gardens.
Yeah.
Remind people where you are, what you are, and what you're
your
doing.
Your purpose, mission, vision, etc. All the good things. Such a great community organization.
Well, we are in our 25th year at Growing Gardens, so this is a big year for us. And we have a Boulder farm that's located at, it's on the Iris and kind of Hawthorne area. So if you're all familiar with Long's Garden, that is the You Dig Iris farm on Broadway. And we graciously get to rent land from the Long family who've been working that land for 117 years now within the city of Boulder limits. So it's still kind of the last standing agricultural piece of land that we get to farm here in Boulder. So
that's
it's so
great.
Special.
Yeah.
So we have a 11-acre farm that we use there of the 25 acres. We also have two small farms up in Longmont. And so the farms up in Longmont, we do support our food donation program, and we donate the food from those farms to people in need within our community, providing healthy, fresh produce for everyone so that there's not a barrier to accessing the food that fuels our body.
Great.
And you said that you actually have two sub stands that are in Longmont to distribute that produce. Where is that in Longmont?
Sure. Yeah, the farm space is up in Longmont. One is in partnership with the YMCA, which is on Lashley Street. And the second is a pilot farm this year that we're just developing, and that's in partnership with Bethlehem Lutheran Church, and that's located at 15th Street and Pratt.
And you have your farm stand at the farm is open every Wednesday, I know.
The timing of the show is perfect because I strolled through farm stand last night to bring these items here today.
Fantastic.
So it's every Wednesday, and we operate from 3:30 to 6:30. It's open to the public. We will run that through mid-November, actually. So we're doing a long farm stand there this year.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And then the one up in Longmont begins today, so it's a Thursday farm stand, and that one's going to be from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and that will go through mid-October.
And the other thing that I love about Growing Gardens is the educational programs.
Thank you for bringing that up, John. Yeah, so I didn't quite answer all of Daniel's questions, but, you know, our goal is to cultivate community. We do that through regenerative agriculture, and so it's not only just growing and eating healthy produce, but it's the nutrition and gardening education that we provide, and we do that through community classes. We go into schools and do lessons within the schools. We have field trips out to the farm. We go into different senior living centers and educate people. So our goal is to provide something that will involve all ages, all backgrounds, all abilities, and help people to kind of have a deep connection back to the land.
By the way, you're listening to Kitchen Table Talk with me, John Lendorf, and Chef Dan Asher in our guests. And if you have questions about anything we're talking about or local agriculture, or you need to figure out what to do with the five rutabagas that arrived in your CSA box.
Yeah.
Or cardoons.
Always a challenge. cardoons.
Yarrow, whatever.
That'd be great.
You can call 303-442-4242, and we'll talk to you on the air.
Yeah.
I would add, you could also send in your questions via email, dj@kgnu.org.
That would be our DJ. Shannon.
Are definitely, we're like a kohlrabi crisis center. Like, we can definitely handle any challenges you have in the kitchen. You can just dial in and we will have some, hopefully, sage wisdom for you. Chef Arik, how are things with you?
Things are busy, as always.
Yes.
It's, I guess there are no dull days in my world. So very, very thankful to be here again. And now I've got my mind turning on how I can reuse Cardoons. It's been a little minute, and it's, yes. They are much more than just the answer in a crossword puzzle.
That's true.
You've been a chef a long time, but you've turned your attention towards creating sauces. Talk a little
Correct,
bit about
yeah. that. So right now, I founded a company called Urban Pantry, and the Urban is spelled H-E-R-B apostrophe N, so a little bit of play on words, but also a reference to the vegan sauces that they currently are. Right now, we are producing 4 different globally inspired hot sauces.
They're so delicious.
Condiments to enjoy to enhance your food, and none of these sauces are scary in terms of their Scoville scale.
No face numbers. Melting.
No face melting. That's exactly right.
Okay, yeah. Great. Just beautiful flavor profiles.
And that's very much the idea. I care a lot about careful sourcing for each of these globally inspired sauces.
And where do you source the ingredients?
So right now I am sourcing anywhere that I can find non-GMO and vegan ingredients. And the trickiest thing, to be truthful, is finding these ingredients at a scale that can actually accommodate the needs of a regionally distributed condiment company.
Yeah.
Because
that's an excellent point.
It's not like you're selling, you know, 10 bottles a week at a, you know, at a farm stand. Talk a little bit about where people can find your sauces.
So right now in our listening radius, you can check out any Whole Foods or City Market here in the state of Colorado. And you can find the 4 varieties currently being sold. Right now, they're at the end of each store's condiment aisle. And they're down by the kind of the Kroger's Simple Truth organic branded foods.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So check them out.
And the chilies that you're sourcing are pretty fantastic, too.
They are.
And very per bottle, like Calabrian. Awesome stuff.
So the 4 varieties we're currently making, I make one called Pekin Hot, which uses these tiny fingernail-sized Pekin chilies that I source directly from Mexico. Great raisiny flavor and a very nice balanced heat. A little warmer on your tongue than some others. I make a variety called Sambalistic, a reference to the sambal oleg that we hopefully find in everybody's refrigerator
yes.
for your Asian inspired foods, and using mostly red jalapenos in there, but fresh garlic and fresh lime juices and authentic Szechuan peppercorns for that variety. I make a variety, as Chef Daniel referenced, called Bomba, B-O-M-B-A.
So good.
Which uses authentic Calabrian chilies, so I'm able to import those at some considerable volume right now to use in that sauce and real roasted garlic. And the most popular flavor right now is called Mo Rockin', and it is a reference not only to how awesome it is, but also to the Middle Eastern and North African flavors that it expresses. So great Aleppo peppers and preserved lemons and a homemade spice blend that I get to have fun developing.
I guess more to the point, which one would you serve on roasted rutabagas?
Sure. Well, the answer is yes, because all 4 would be great. And it does kind of depend on the larger dish that you're making, because each sauce is meant to complement a dish. So if I'm roasting rutabagas, John, I'm probably using either the Bomba or the Moroccan right now.
And you can call in and ask your rutabaga or other oriented food questions down here at the Boulder Studios, 303-442-4242.
Yeah, and support your local amazing food artisans like Chef Arik, and hop out to the Growing Gardens farm stands.
And
Wednesday, Thursday night. Wednesday and Thursday.
Back you can also buy Chef Arik's hot sauce there at the farm stand.
Thank you. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, how great is that?
And for those of you who don't know young Chef Asher, he's the owner and chef of Ashkara. in Boulder, and also River and Woods, and a few other establishments. What are you cooking from the garden these days at your restaurants?
Officially, I'm trying to work on, you know, it's great. I just did a awesome farm dinner with the folks at Elk Run for the Drylands Agroecology Research Project. If you're not familiar with Elk Run Farm, I highly recommend everyone checks out what they're doing. It's right, it's actually past Yellow Barn Farm off of Twilight, if you're heading towards Lyons on the left. Mm-hmm. And they have an absolutely magical piece of land. I connected with them a while ago, but I hadn't officially set foot on their sacred property until this amazing evening.
What did you cook?
Regarding water and so many. Well, it was a collaboration with Chef Jax, and she is a total rock star. And we did some awesome things, but they raise livestock. They have some beautiful lamb that was, I kind of did a slow braise on, kind of a shawarma rub, you know, roasted it, get some char on it, and then did a slow braise, which was great. Some of the our beautiful pita bread from Ashkara, which is done with heirloom organic heirloom grains from three local farms, and honey from B Squared Apiary. Shout out to Jones Farm also for the grain that they use in that, and then Moxie turkey red organic flour, and then Rouge de Bordeaux. And Winter Langen from the folks at Dry Storage. Also a couple great spots. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Moxie and Dry Storage doing great work with local grains and beautiful baked goods. So it was served on that with a beautiful chutney, a peach chutney that Chef Jax had jarred and put up in season last summer. And then the peach grower was actually sitting at the table, which was remarkable connection, which is some of the magic that unfolds when you have dinner in the field. Which is great, and there was some lovely greens, amazing greens, all sorts of, everything was basically picked. I was walking through the fields picking, you know, pea flowers and poppies, and I mean, it was really just mind-blowing to be able to connect with food in that way, and I think that's what's so important about places like Growing Gardens, where you can actually see where your food is coming from. I think that's one of the most powerful and impactful parts of the human experience. Is being able to see where it's grown, who's growing it, what intention and expression is being put into the soil, and then what is being reaped and harvested. And like you said, Carly, access to beautiful, nutrient-dense organic food should not be related to income bracket or level of success. It should be a human birthright, which I love that you have a model that allows everyone that is in need and desires delicious food can be fed accordingly and properly with grace.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that brings up the point of just the community that we like to offer at Growing Gardens, and that kind of reminding people that it is a public space for people to come out and enjoy and walk the gardens. The Boulder Path system goes all around the garden. So, you know, there's the opportunity to just be out on the land and soak it up, take it in, appreciate it. We invite people to come out and just be there.
Amazing.
You know, I couldn't help notice that you have some just gorgeous plates in front of you.
Perfectly composed plates. This is very impressive.
We just happened to have it here. Of course, one of the things we love to do on Kitchen Table Talk, as well as Radio Nibbles, is, well, eat, because, well, we like to. So,
yes. Radio does not do this justice, but it's stunning composed. This would be,
we'll try to taste it.
Yes.
In an audio way.
Tell us, please tell us what we are about to enjoy.
Okay, well, I tried to keep it breakfasty for the most part.
Yes, this feels very brunchy.
As breakfasty as it can. Yes,
fantastic.
Right. And
fresh
favas. Our growing team set me up last night. I just strolled through our farm stand and got beautiful garlic scapes, which I know Arik worked with these a couple weeks ago from our farm as well. Mm-hmm. Which, if you haven't seen one of those, they're just really fun.
They're so
whimsical.
Cool. A little coil. I know my kids put them on their wrists. They wear them as
they're
bracelets.
Beautiful jewelry. Yes. And then fava beans. So I will say two of these things are super resilient. They survive the hail. You know, fava beans, there's a little two-step process to it, but they're so protected. So these have done really well this season. And then on the not-so-well side, I brought some, like, super damaged strawberries that got hail damage and are still beautiful. So what I did with them today for you all is put mashed strawberries on buttered toast with a little fresh basil.
Oh, my gosh.
Which it's just light and... the flavor of the strawberries is outrageous. You can put a little balsamic drizzle on it if you would like. And then with the fava beans, so you boil them. And you take the beans out of the pod. You take the, let's say, pods out of the shell. There we go. Mm-hmm. And you boil them in salted water. And then once they've boiled for just about 5 minutes, you then need to remove the skin. And so there's a little process to it, but the fava beans come out with this beautiful green color. There's a little tender belly bacon in there and some fresh herbs. We've got dill and mint and then sautéed garlic scapes.
Unbelievable.
Nice, fresh flavors.
Delightful.
Yeah.
And Chef Ark, you used a bunch of scapes from Growing Gardens. You were one of the amazing folks catering the event, the Growing Gardens event. When was it? 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago currently? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was like mid-June.
Mid-June, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you did amazing falafel using a few things that were in excess, right? And made an amazing falafel base.
I did. And I was very fortunate to be able to get in and get amazing produce, which at Growing Gardens, I'm pretty confident when I go over there, I'm going to find beautiful things. And this happened to be just a few days after our wicked nasty hailstorm here in Boulder, and I was able to use not only the garlic scapes but incredible kale, and we found just beautiful greens, broccoli leaves, which unfortunately are neglected too often in the field.
Yes.
And find the broccoli leaves at your local organic farm stands, at your, heck, if you have friends growing them, they're incredibly delicious. They're definitely hearty.
And yes. how do you cook them?
So for the broccoli greens specifically, I blanch them in some boiling salted water just to try and just soften them a little bit, and then use them in the falafel with the scapes. So knowing that I was going to cook the entire mixture once it was all put together, I had the blanched broccoli leaves, the fresh kale, some chickpeas that I had only soaked from dry, and a little asterisked tip for you home cooks who love falafel: don't use the cooked stuff out of the can. It just isn't the same. You want to soak them and then pass them through the grinder.
Yep.
And essentially made the mixture. Everything gets passed through a meat grinder on its smaller plate and mixed in by hand.
And you could have used fava beans.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would have been very happy. I don't think they were ready for me yet, but the fava beans would have been in there too.
The other thing
is delicious.
The other thing you can do with fava beans, you can, you know, break it open and boil them and everything. You can also take the whole thing and just put it on the grill and, you know, get it initially cooked.
That sounds so good.
Steam cool. From the inside out when you do it that way, John. Yeah, you can grill the whole pot.
I've been sitting on this thank you for a while now. I want to thank Michelle, who called in from Denver during the Morning Magazine. She says, thanks to the station for the local and national coverage during Democracy Now! And KGNU's Morning Magazine. Thank you, Michelle. She's taking a copy of Rising Up as her thank you gift. I need to remind you that you are listening to KGNU FM 88.5 Boulder, KGNU 1390 Denver. We are in our Kitchen Table Talk Fun Drive edition, and we would love to thank you. We have lots of wonderful thank you gifts. Anybody who makes a contribution anytime now through July 9th at 11 a.m. will be automatically entered into a drawing to win a pair of tickets with camping to the Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. That's going to be August 11th through the 13th in Lyons. We are here with Chef Daniel Asher and John Lindorf doing the Kitchen Table Talk edition for the Fun Drive. We need to hear from you. The number is 303-449-4885, or you can go online at kgnu.org in order to help us to continue to bring forward this programming that I know that you value. And today, well, in this fund drive, we have a $10,000 matching gift on the table in memory of Mary Neal Brown. So if you give today, your dollars will be doubled, and you could pick up a thank you gift. We have a whole menu of them available, and any one of our phone volunteers can give you the details. The number is 303-449-4885.
Please call in.
Yeah, make a donation. I would love to hear from folks who appreciate Radio Nibbles. It's been on the air for at least 30 years. There was another show that I did before that.
What was that called?
The Generic Gourmet Show.
Okay.
This was really back in the dark ages. So I've been doing this for a while. I know you appreciate it because we get your calls, and I get a lot of comments from folks when I'm around town. This is your chance to call or sign in and show your particular support for food radio in Boulder County. I need to go back to eating the strawberry toast and the quite incredible combination of bacon and fava beans that really go well together. But please call. Please show your support. And also, please call with your questions about gardening, about cooking, and about food-related issues. Daniel?
I am really enjoying this over here. Oh. Thank you, Carly.
You're welcome.
Wow. Fresh favas is a huge treat. We use them in our falafel as well at Oscar. This is absolutely fantastic. And the strawberries, I want to say, even though they were physically damaged by hail, their qualities and attributes internally remained resilient and strong.
Yeah.
And sweet and delightful.
Also, this is, and you talked about using broccoli leaves. Mm-hmm. And if you saw these strawberries, there's a lot of people that would never consider buying these strawberries or eating them because they're not...
Their appearance.
They're not perfect. They're not those grotesque, steroid, you know, large strawberries you see at the store. These are tiny,
super pumped, right,
and sweet. And it goes to using the whole plant. Using the, if you buy radishes, eat the radish greens. There's a lot of different ways to use those, but it's all around saving the produce and not wasting at the very least what you buy. And farmers often have produce that's slightly damaged that's beautiful for jams.
Yes.
And salsas and all kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, just canning methods, fermentation methods, freezing methods. So whatever we don't eat here today of these strawberries, I will go back and haul them and cut out any spots that are bad, and I'll freeze the rest of these, and we'll use them at summer camp making our kale smoothies. These will go in it, you know. So,
of course, that's great.
Whatever we can do to reduce our food waste is so important. We like to teach that with the kids in camp, and you know, pull a carrot out of the ground, and we'll go make carrot top pesto, and cut up the carrots, and dip it in the pesto, and learn about all the parts of the plant.
I bet the best part is doing that with the little kids who have no idea that you know, and then that a little, do you see the light bulb go on?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so a lot of kids, you ask where does a carrot come from, and they say the grocery store. So to see them actually pull it from the ground and get their hands all dirty and that awe when they see this beautiful carrot, and if you have carnival carrots or rainbow carrots and they see different colored carrots, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Scarlet dragon, and yeah, they're just unbelievable, the colors and the variety of flavor differences as well, sugar content and textural differences. It's pretty remarkable, and I think the more kids connect with that at a young age, the more it will impact their awareness of our food system and how it all works. I know, you know, my mom's garden growing up was a huge influence on me personally, and being able to have a tomato from the garden warmed by the sun is a deeply transformative experience that, you know, every kid should be able to have that moment at some point. But that also involves having access to space to be able to grow.
That's right.
Properly.
That's right. And that leads into, we also have community gardens.
Yes. That, please talk
if
about
I just
that.
Talk
yeah,
about a little bit about that.
Please,
so,
yes.
You know, if someone's interested in growing their own food, that's an opportunity to have a space within the community garden if you don't have your own space to grow within. And so the idea is that, you know, you're not just getting healthy food for one meal, but you're learning how to cultivate your food for a lifetime. So the community garden program, we have 7 different community gardens throughout Boulder County. We have about 400 plots altogether.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize the program was that big.
It's big. Yeah.
That's
and
huge.
So that's actually the program that Growing Gardens started with. The city was doing it, and then I think it got too big for them to manage, and so we hopped in there and took that program and ran with it.
400 plots?
400 plots.
I'd like to raise my hand and ask for one, please.
But do you,
that's great.
Did you grow up with gardening around you, or did you learn about it later, or what? Talk about your relationship to
you know,
growing.
Food has been a significant part just in my family experience, and I first learned how to cook for myself spending time with my grandmother, and it was always egg salad and tuna salad. And I grew up in Manhattan, and I should specify that's New York City, not Manhattan, Kansas. So for me, I did not have a nearby access to the ground and being able to see where your food really truly comes from. And that was something that my appreciation for the craft of farming and the quality of ingredients coming out of the ground day of, or even within the last few days, was something I only had access to as I was a young prep cook working in some of New York's best fine dining restaurants. And when you see somebody walk in the back door of a Michelin-starred restaurant with a plastic bin full of porcini mushrooms or chanterelles or ramps coming from the Catskills in New York, and
wow,
seeing how the sous chefs and even, you know, Danielle Balut is coming down to the prep kitchen and pulling this stuff out of the bins with just the widest eyes you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I had never seen a Hakurai turnip before working there. And now Carly will attest, I was at the first farm stand at the kickoff of the season, and I was walking up and down the tables, the offering, looking at what was there. And I was the wide-eyed chef suddenly.
Right.
And
mesmerized.
For the kids behind the table, as they saw me pass in front of those same turnips 6 and 8 times, looking longingly, and Carly having to remind me, those are for sale, buddy.
He eats them like apples, so.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
They're so good. And
can I add on that? Arik said the kids behind the table. So a different program that we have at Growing Gardens is called our Cultiva Teen Program. And so that's a summer job. That's a paid job, 14 to 18-year-olds. And for most of them, it's their first job. They're learning leadership. They're learning a great trade. They're outside working with their bodies and their hands and in the sun and the elements. And then they're forward-facing with our CSA program and our farm stand and interacting with customers once a week.
That's fantastic. Unbelievable.
Recently, I was lucky enough to spend some time with Ruth Reichel.
Oh, my gosh, the screening
cool.
of the... Yes.
Yeah.
The great...
Please talk about that.
The great food author, and saw the film that she produced about the state of American agriculture, especially during the pandemic and immediately thereafter, and how that affects the kinds of foods and the variety of foods and the quality of food that's available. But in looking back through her history, it's partially a biography. She talked to Alice Waters, and among the points that Alice made and Ruth talked about was that you can't put all the credit on chefs for keeping farmers alive, but part of the reason, part of how farm stands and farmers markets came to thrive was because chefs said, I want good ingredients. I don't want the regular arugula. I want arugula that has some flavor. And if you grow it for me, I'll buy all the arugula that you have.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Exactly, yeah. It's a very powerful relationship. And it helps drive the most important element in all of these conversations is flavor and taste. You know, if you really want to talk about sustainability and local agriculture and supporting what that is, if the strawberries don't make you close your eyes and go, oh, wow, or if the Tokyo turnips don't make you immediately crave a second and a third one to nibble, then that relationship is in dire straits, I will say. So it really comes down to flavor and taste. And the beauty about locally grown food that's done with love and a high level of integrity is I found, I think, 11 out of 10 times, it's utterly delicious and magical, which is a pretty good track record for local food systems, I would say.
Yeah. And the truth of the matter is it's actually a chef buddy of mine who I'm sitting looking at right now, Chef Daniel Asher, who recently just on this radio show said that flavor is the final arbiter of quality and whether or not people are going to find satisfaction in their food. Here's an opportunity to check it out for yourself. And to find more adventures, visit your local farmers market, support those farmers, support the producers who work so hard to bring that quality of product to you, and feel good about spending those extra few bucks, because it's well worth it. I mean, even the strawberries that Carly's brought in today, and hail damaged or not, if I need to choose between those or the Schwarzenberries that you can find at the supermarket, it's an easy choice for me.
Yeah, 100%. It's true. And supporting when the hail damage happens, you know, it's a huge traumatic experience for farmers. They've worked so hard to get, you know, I just had this conversation with Tim and Carrie at Dharma's Garden. Like 3 months of effort is literally shattered in seconds. And that's a really profound risk that farmers are putting out there just by doing their beautiful work. So to be able to support, you know, I guess ugly produce, mm-hmm. so to speak, or less mm-hmm. beautiful than was originally intended, is a very important part of the cooking process. You know, and Dharma's Garden had a bunch of Napa cabbage and some other greens, fava greens even, and I just took them and turned them into kimchi.
Yeah.
Which was mm-hmm. such an easy process. So to be able to know, you know, soups, sauces, stocks, pestos, you know, ways to utilize fermented foods, etc., is a great way to utilize produce that's less than prime, but it supports the folks that grow it.
By the way, folks, you are listening to Kitchen Table Talk. I'm John Lendorf, your congenial host for Radio Nibbles, and once a month on Kitchen Table Talk. We're hoping that you'll call in at 303-442-4242 with your questions and support KGNU as a public utility, as an essential part of your lives. It's just as important in our lives and our ability to function, especially in the current tainted information age that we live in, that we have this and we support it. In the same way that you support the farmers, support this essential part of the community. And you can do that by calling 303-449-4885 or going online at kgnu.org.
Yes, excellent. Please, call in, donate, support. And for those of you just joining, we are here in the studio at Kitchen Table Talk with Arik Marcus, amazing, talented, legendary Colorado chef and founder of Urban Pantry Condiment Company. So please go grab and support, grab some of his delicious, globally inspired sauces and support an amazing person doing great culinary work, now available in a bottle, not in limited quantity, by reservation only, correct, Chef?
That's right.
And where is the best website? What's the best way for people to find out more?
So the website is urbanpantry.com, urban spelled H-E-R-B-N, So urbanpantry.com. Check Excellent. It out.
Great. And Carly Silberman, donor development manager and also talented chef and culinarian who has delighted us this morning with some phenomenal fava bean and bacon hash with some incredible fresh herbs and some smashed strawberry toast, delightfully done on buttered bread. And how can people find out more about Growing Gardens and the work that you, the tremendous community work that you're doing?
So you can check us out at growinggardens, with an S at the end, .org. And there's a lot on there, a lot of different links, but one I'll steer people to is if you go to Get Involved and then the drop-down for events. You can see a lot of the upcoming things about Farm Stand. We do a community harvest fest in the fall. That's a free public event. That's October 4th. And we also have our annual Farm Gala coming up, which...
August 26th. That's right.
It's right on by, Riverwoods and Chef Daniel, one of our community chef partners. So,
are there tickets available for that?
They are. They actually will go on sale next week.
Yeah. So dive in on that because it's an absolutely fabulous shindig.
And again,
shindig.
That's August...
August 26th.
At the farm?
At the farm. So in the spirit of fundraising.
Yes.
That's our big fundraising event for the year.
And you just had the volunteer dinner.
We did. We had an appreciation event.
Cooked at, which was delicious. And the crew from Mateo was there.
That's right.
Rocking pizzas.
Yes.
Delicious pizzas. Yeah. It's just great to see
that. But this brings up the question of there are more and more wonderful dinners on the farm available. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about farm to table, but... Farm to farm table is a different experience, and so many people haven't been to a farm dinner. And so Daniel, why is that different than going to your restaurant to eat?
Oh wow. It's honestly one of my favorite joys in life is doing and being involved in the act of preparing food steps away from where it was grown, if we're talking about proteins, where it was raised. I think connecting with soil and understanding the challenges and beauty that unfold within is extremely important. So when you're in a restaurant, you're obviously contained within walls. Everything's been fabricated and created and curated in essence with the thought of guests' comfort and every possible tailored moment of lighting, music, hopefully keeping everything in a state of very controlled and manageable chaos so that things unfold in a beautiful rhythm.
Whereas on the farm, it could be chaotic.
Someone could be speaking and there's chickens going nuts in the background and the lighting is completely dependent on our dear friend the sun and the moon. So, there's a very different elements at play, and I like to use the word elements because you're deeply connected to the elements of nature, and I feel like that is such a profound thing to be connected to while engaged in the act of connecting with humans nearby and eating food that was grown nearby, because I think so much of our world is going in the direction of apart and separate. So things that can keep us engaged and deeply connected to one another in a way that feels safe and intimate is very profound and necessary to keep us connected and know what work needs to be done so that we all can be safe and happy and healthy.
And we're seeing the circle of life right in front of you.
Exactly. Birth and death, and exactly, yes. And there's so many things involved in the harvesting process, and so many farms are kept thriving strictly through volunteers that are showing up to help do a lot of the work. I mean, the labor cost involved in the expression of farming is insane. The cost of land to farm versus the yield and the return is not a great business model, but it's one of the most profound impacts on humanity, because if farms didn't exist, we would also cease to exist because there literally would be nothing to eat.
And we found that out in very graphic ways during the pandemic.
Yes, supply chain.
Yes, the overused word, supply chain.
Mm-hmm. Not as overused as pivot, John.
Right.
Which I don't think I've actually said out loud in about 2 years, because I refused to use that word.
And my other favorite...
Pivot is back.
My other favorite word we shouldn't use anymore is unprecedented.
Yes.
Just because...
Unprecedented, yes.
But you mentioned, in a lot of cases, volunteers or other labor... makes these farms function. And I'd also like to mention that's how KGNU functions.
Yes.
There's a very tiny paid staff here. And then there's a couple of hundred people like me, who actually pay to be on the air, in effect. Not, although I feel like I'm paying for Saturday morning bluegrass and reggae. I feel like I'm paying for the live performances in the studio here. I feel like I'm paying for the BBC News. But in any case, almost everyone you hear on the air is a long-time volunteer who works to keep this whole thing going for you. So I think it's time, wherever you are in the sound of my voice, whether you're in the Boulder Valley or someplace out there in the world listening, it's time to call 303-449-4885 or go online to kgnu.org and become a member. You'd be surprised how satisfying it really is. And, you know, membership does have its privileges. If you become a member, we like to thank you. In my other world, I'm a music writer, and I've written about music in Boulder for 40 years. KGNU has a stunning supply of tickets to sold-out musical events in the next month or so that you can take advantage. You can also get gift cards that we have donated from various food organizations locally, including The Corner and Outworld Brewing, Roots in Broomfield, Ginger and Baker up in Fort Collins. Heck, it's worth going up there just for some pie. The Jamestown Merc, and also our friends at Ozo Coffee, who have been such strong supporters of the station. So give a call, go online, show us that you like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, good pie at the Jamestown Merc as well.
Yes, from Karen, my friend.
Yes.
Karen.
Yep, John has a very strong and talented pie radar.
I do keep track of that.
Yeah. Also a meaningful dish that represents a lot of beautiful components.
Well, and as you think about the continuity of the show and being here listening every month, I can tell you as a listener last month that we talked about pie as well.
There we go. That's great. That's good for consistency, which is awesome.
Well, and I can
appreciate it.
I can also think of pastry-related applications for almost every garden food that we talked about. It would be very easy for me to imagine a fava bean and bacon hand pie, for instance.
Yeah, or scone or a biscuit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The strawberries, you know, go without saying.
Very good idea. Yeah.
So
that's so true.
In your fields, are you growing anything unusual? Any varieties? Any herbs or things that people might be unfamiliar with that they should get familiar with?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think the turnips are one thing that some people are like not accustomed to yet. I think they're becoming more popular as more farms are growing them in Boulder, but I can tell you there's people that are like, what do I do with them? And actually one of my coworkers turned me on to a miso glaze with the turnips and just doing that in a saute pan.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's delicious.
Right.
That's great. And
so
tops.
you do CSA, right?
We do. Yeah. 80% uh-huh. CSA.
You probably put some turnips in the box. Yeah.
We do. And we've started to do a lot of choice, like your choice of this or that. We also have like a trade-in thing at the end. So if someone gets something that they don't want, they can trade it in, and whatever else is on the trade-in tail, they can swap it out.
That's good.
But let's talk turnips just for a moment.
Yeah.
Let's talk turnips. Actually, that's going to be the third show.
I was going to say, stay tuned. KGNU's new offering, Let's Talk Turnips.
Because a lot of us grew up with gigantic, woody, you know, starchy turnips. Mm-hmm. And they were almost always in the form of mashed turnips or
pressure cooker. And
yeah, because, you know, they grow them as big as they could because it was, you know, a lot of times it was just used as, you know, for feeding livestock. But these are the turnips we're talking about here are not like that.
Oh, they're tender and delightful.
They're
and
small,
crisp.
And you could eat them raw, also, like slice them and eat them.
Well, also, there's different varieties.
Right.
That, like the What was the one you mentioned?
The Hakurai.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can eat that raw, and it's much closer, like, to a radish, right?
It's a lot sweeter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's...
But it's size-wise?
Well, it's not like, you know, woody or, no. You know, I mean, they're tender.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tender, crisp, delightful. Yeah, shaved on top of a salad. You can lightly saute them. I love turnips on just toast with some butter and sea salt.
Mm-hmm.
I think are fantastic.
So when you shave the turnip on top of the salad, Dan, do you put shaving cream on the turnip first in order to prepare it for...
No, not necessary. Yeah, not necessary. It's a low-impact process. Yeah, definitely. Just right. A sharp knife required and a skilled hand. If you want to get all fancy and use a mandolin, you know, that's the best way to get even slices. That's also probably the number one kitchen injury.
Yeah.
Is the mandolin.
And let me mention, for those of you who are immediately thinking of Sam Bush or David Grisman or, you know.
Different instrument entirely.
Different instrument.
also plays music. Vegetable music, John. Vegetable music.
But it's actually a wonderful tool. Part of the problem with dealing with produce, I think you can all address this, is that there's a lot of prep. There's a lot of work that there can be a lot of work in how you prepare it. And people go, well, I'd just rather buy a bag of shredded carrots. Why should I? I think the key is to have a few tools that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One is a sharp knife.
A box grater. Another good one.
If your knife or your box grater, again, a lot of people have box graters they inherited from their mother.
It's a cheap, phenomenal prep tool.
Well, they're not sharp anymore, you know. The other thing is that they have dull knives.
Yeah.
You know, go to the farmer's market, bring your knives with you, get them sharpened. It'll make you a lot happier. The same thing with peelers.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other things that make... You know, that a lot of people have fear of, you know, oh, God, I got to deal with all that, you know. Give me some things that actually would make it easier for people to deal with all this produce at home.
I use my food processor all the time.
I was going to say, yeah, a good blender. Yeah. You can do everything from soups to purees
You know, shred carrots, just, you know, if you're making carrot cake, which I love making.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just shred the carrots right in there. Pestos. I mean, I do pestos with a lot of, like, these garlic scapes would be perfect in a pesto.
Yeah.
Or the tops of things that we talked about earlier today, carrot tops.
Completely.
I use the food processor several times a week.
Yeah.
I would say.
And I encourage people to have a little, you know, just a little bin that fits in your fridge that you can put all your vegetable scraps in and trimmings and mushroom stems and things that you might not feel completely inclined to work with, and then that gets covered in water and brought to a boil and flavored with anything from a little bit of soy sauce to sea salt to dried herbs and make a beautiful broth, and then strain out the remaining pulp, which is all the beautiful things that have released their flavors into the liquid, that can be, you know, composted, and then you have a wonderful nourishing broth that you've made from food waste.
Totally. I've actually started doing broth in my crock pot because I have a gas stove and it's hot in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been doing crock pot overnight broth and strain it in the morning. And
excellent. Good idea.
Strainer, I would say, again, an underrated tool, mm-hmm. and underutilized tool, but a solid strainer.
Yeah.
And
very true.
You know, as I think about kitchen safety also, I think a slightly damp towel underneath your cutting board is the best way.
Good one, Arik.
So good, and not done often. Correct. That's you know, the main thing in a commercial kitchen as well, is you have your cutting board placed securely so it doesn't slide around. Yes, 100%. Great. Wow, look at that.
Well, folks, we're coming down to the end of our amazingly fast and tasty hour here on Kitchen Table Talk. And we still would love to hear from you personally.
Aaron donated online with a special shout out to Morning Magazine and Radio Nibbles. I love the hour-long news format of Kitchen Table Talk. Thank you, Aaron.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
Hop in and donate.
And his dollars were doubled.
Double dollars.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go. Support KGNU, an amazing community focused local radio station that is deeply connected to things that matter and keep us connected.
Let's wrap things up.
Yeah.
Tell me something wonderful people should cook this week, Daniel. Daniel Asher is the chef and owner of Ashkara Restaurant and also River and Woods in Boulder.
What's a beautiful thing to cook?
Yeah.
I would get some beautiful locally milled heirloom grain organic pasta from the folks at Pasta Ficcio and cook that off and set it aside. And then go to one of the many amazing farm stands in town. Supporting this episode would be Growing Gardens Wednesday and Thursdays, correct? Wednesday in Boulder, Thursdays in Longmont.
That's right.
And grab some delightful, beautiful greens, I would say seasonally. I would get, you know, some turnips and cut the tops off and save the greens and get some kale. Just get some beautiful things, saute them in a pan. And toss them back in with the pasta in the last couple moments. Finish with a little bit of olive oil, some grated sharp cheese, and have a beautiful summer pasta dish. That's what I would encourage.
And our guests.
Cheap, affordable, and great to nourish your family.
Lovely. I have some Hazeldale mushrooms sitting in my fridge, and this colder weather's made me want to have a little heartier. So I think tomorrow's dinner is going to be risotto.
Ooh.
I also have snap peas that should have been harvested like a week ago. Okay. So I think I'll shell them and take the peas out and mix in the mushrooms and use my chicken stock in my fridge. And I'm a dairy-free girl, so I just do, lots of herbs and salt, olive oil, and it's perfect.
That's great.
What? No butter?
No, I actually did plant-based butter on your toast this morning, and you probably didn't even know it.
Didn't even notice. Thanks for that. And Chef Arik, what's any dish that you're feeding the family with or are currently enjoying?
Sure. Honestly, I get inspired cooking day-to-day by what I can find at the market. I kind of geek out on stuff like that. So I'm actually going to go up to Growing Gardens Thursday Farm in Longmont today.
Great.
And I'm going to ask what seconds the farm has, and I'm going to find something creative to do with the produce that might not otherwise be sold. Make something from nothing.
Yes.
Hardly nothing.
That's a good philosophy for life in general, not just cooking. Very true. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We are in the final minute of our morning news block, so if you haven't done it already, please do go to your phone, 303-449-4885, or type into your website on your browser, kgnu.org. Dollars are doubled. There's some great gifts that you can pick up, and we're about to hand things over to Joanne Cole for the Morning Sound Alternative. What do you have in store, Joanne?
Oh, my God. Am I on the microphone?
You are
so
now.
So beautiful to see you all this morning. I have a very special guest, the most special guest in the whole world, Miss Molly O'Brien.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that. We're just going to give a couple of messages, and thank you for Kitchen Table Talk.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks much.